and joining us in the studios this evening, the 900-foot one himself. Mark, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm over my little mood swing that I had. I was almost bit your assistant's head off.
Oh, no.
She wasn't waiting for me with a drink with an umbrella in it when I got here.
Speaking of people...
But I'm doing a lot better now.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Kind of an attitude adjustment situation.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny because that was a question I was going to ask you this evening. Was when people meet you for the first time, are they surprised you're not like maybe like kind of like a raving lunatic? Or?
Yeah, often. Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends on how... Yeah. That really happened, especially on the first album, because at that point, the first thing we did was our record came out, we flew over to England and did a bunch of shows, and it was like all these journalists were expecting some sort of, yeah, complete psychotic weirdo, and, you know, they got me instead.
Yeah, I think anybody that's been in the Dallas area and that has been in the underground or whatever knows you and probably knew you a little bit before you even kind of got this stardom pushed on you. And you kind of have this like subconscious thing that goes out on your record that nobody really sees when they meet you.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or maybe if you do let that side come out, you only let it out to a certain, you know, number of people. Certainly not, you know, acquaintances. You got to be a close friend to get the psychotic side.
Well, to me, it's like you know, it's like writing a story or something. I mean, you know, Stephen King doesn't do all the things that he writes about in his books. I guess I can sort of compare
right.
it to that.
That's,
you know,
a good
I mean,
comparison.
So it's like, yeah. And if you meet him, you know, it's like they have to really work hard to make him look scary. And it's kind of the same case with me, I think. But I just do what I do, and people, you know.
People beware, basically. Hey, you know, with the radio success of the new single, If I Only Had a Brain, a lot of people probably think that you're a new artist, when in fact, you've been doing this for almost 6 years.
Yeah, almost. It was like 88, I think, when I started working on that first EP.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's like, that's the way, you know, that's just sort of the nature of music business, sort of... people become aware of you at different steps along the way.
Yeah, I think of a lot of, you know, there's probably a lot of bedroom bands out there right now, and you got a very inspirational story. I mean, you're putting out the EP on Conga, which basically was your own thing.
Gonga. Yeah.
Gonga. When I think Conga.
Yeah, everybody always does that.
No, yeah, you're right.
Nobody knows what Gonga comes from.
Gonga. Yeah. Records. Okay, explain to us just, you know, we know the process you went through in putting out the EP, because it's very minimal, but it's really good.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was like, I just decided it was time for me to, I really felt like I couldn't keep my self-respect finally unless I just tried to do something on my own at one point. So I decided to save up some pennies, and, you know, it was like my New Year's resolution one year to start saving money so that I could put out an EP, buy a sampler and put out an EP. And I borrowed some money from this friend of mine, Brad Metcalf, and the two of us financed it ourselves, and that's what I got a lot of really good reviews from it.
Yeah.
I mean, little ones, you know, little bitty blurbs here and there, but that's what led me to getting my first record deal, actually.
Right, exactly. Through putting out the EP, you turned some heads, at Network especially.
Yeah, they were really right, you know, a couple of guys there were really hyped about signing me, and actually the main A&R guy was not really that convinced, but, you know... whatever.
No, but at that time, 1988, 89, Network Records had bands like Skinny Puppy and Manufacture.
Consolidated. Had just been signed there. Yeah, they were pretty happening at that point. And actually, they were import only, too. I mean, I was working at the record store at that time, and I liked their music a lot, you know, and it's like all the different roster they had. I didn't have a problem with being my records coming out as import only, because I didn't really view myself as some sort
that's
of
kinda cool too.
Pop music, you know, thing or whatever, you know. But,
yeah. We're talking with Mark Griffin, otherwise known as MC 900 Foot Jesus. He's playing a show a week from tonight out under the stars at the Lizard Lounge, and we're going to be giving away some tickets to that in just a bit. But Mark, hey, I got to play the track that kind of like... you know, whatever. The very first record I heard by MC 900 Foot Jesus. Back in the old school days, back with fabulous Chicken Gristle George, for those who are...
That's right. Our first show was in the basement of the Start Club.
Yeah, I remember that. I have a flyer from that gig.
Oh,
so
good.
This is from the Gonga EP, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
MC 900 Foot
you
Jesus.
Got it.
Featuring DJ Zero. We're going to talk about Zero in just a second.
Cool.
Mark, this is Too Bad. Remember this one?
Yeah.
It's Edge Club 94 on 94.5 The Edge. Now. 94.5 KDGE The Edge. That's MC 900 Foot Jesus. The year was 1989 and the song Too Bad. And Mark Griffin's in the studio with us this evening on Edge Club 94. Mark, does that bring back some memories hearing that?
Oh, yeah. Sitting in my little bedroom with no windows doing all that stuff on my sequencer.
Ah. And, of course, DJ Zero cutting it up, like, just incredibly.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What's up with Zero these days? Are you touring with him? Because I know he wasn't with you for a while.
Yeah, he helped me write a tune on the new album, this tune called Buried at Sea. He did the beats for it and did a little turntable work on the record. There's not as much turntable stuff on the new record as there was on the last two.
Okay.
But he's also, yeah, he's touring with me. He'll be at the show next weekend. And he's been doing some production for different people. Doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, and speaking of your production, there's certainly a lot more involved on stage these days. I mean, it used to be you and Zero and a beatbox, and right. Now you've got a full-blown band. Tell us about that.
Yeah, because of the direction, I guess, you know, for the last album was leaning a little bit more in sort of a jazz direction, and people that I kind of already casually knew around town who were really good players liked some of it, and we all just kind of got together and decided, you know. And I was really ready to do an album that would be a lot of live tunes where I wouldn't have to just... I kind of got tired of being on stage with just the beatbox and me and Zero, you know? And it was like, at the same time, I was cooking up ideas with musicians that I knew who were really good players. I mean, I wouldn't have even attempted to do something like this without...
Tell us who's in the band now. Who's in the band?
What's like, Earl Harvin plays drums, Dave Palmer's on keyboards, bass player named Dave Monsey, and then Drew Phelps is actually the bass player on most of the album. Let's see, who else is the main guy? Chris McGuire is the sax player I've been working with for a long time.
When we saw you at the Edge birthday bash at the Village Country Club, you had a guy sitting on the stage playing...
Yeah,
playing, well, wait, is he playing gongas or congas?
Tablas. This guy named Nikhil Pandya. Yeah, he's really good. Really
is he
going
to be with you Saturday night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a big ensemble. It's like an 8-piece group.
Wow.
Yeah.
So before you used to like take the big cash wad at home, you know, stick it in your pocket, give Zero some, and now you got to split it 8 ways.
That's now I'm going heavily into debt.
You've been getting a lot of press lately. I've been seeing articles all over the country. Herb, you're on the, you know, you've even got a big article in the new Herb, which
I
is
wanna
a California.
I want to see that,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's a California magazine. You said that you're leaving for New York this week to do something with MTV.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what. I think I might be.
I think you're going to do The Grind.
I think it's like, I might be on 120 minutes or something. I don't know.
Oh, are you going to host it?
Ask me a week from now and I'll know for sure.
That'd be great. Your video is in just like super heavy power, hit you over the head rotation. We're talking about the video for If I Only Had a Brain.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. And we're getting ready to shoot another one too. I think the second single is going to be a tune called But If You Go.
Mm. You know, Scott Hardkiss from San Francisco, a great DJ, was here last week and he was in town DJing a party. He said he's going to do a remix for one of your next singles.
That would be great. That's what I was whining about when I came upstairs was, it's like I've gotten a couple of remix situations dumped in my lap and I don't really, and it's like, you know, it's like I haven't worked in that record store for, how long has it been? About 4 years now. And it's like I feel so out of touch now with that type of thing, you know?
Right.
And it's like I hang out in clubs and listen all night long, but I don't know who's doing what.
Right.
And it's like, so somebody at the label will call me up and say, well, we're going to get so-and-so to do this remix. Is it okay with you? And I go, well, I guess.
Well, we talked too.
As long as I don't sound like Dead or Alive.
Yeah. Or anything remotely close to Burns or anything. No, maybe next time. Not after this one, but the time after this one, you put your foot down and say, look, we got guys in Dallas, Rob Vaughn, Scotty Canfield, maybe if I can twiddle the knots.
Guys around here that would be really great at
something. Do nothing
like
but
that,
all
man.
Dallas DJs remixing a Dallas artist.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we're going to play a track from Welcome to My Dream, the second CD. Because we're gonna go chronologically here.
Okay.
This was kind of an in-between thing for you. The second album. Was it kind of a pain in the ass, the second album?
No, the second album actually was totally not one of those.
Okay.
The second album was the songs got written almost by themselves, like in the span of about 3 months, and then I went in and recorded and mixed the whole album in about 6 weeks. The new album took me about 14 months to do,
okay.
And it was a huge pain in the butt.
Well, that's a totally different, I think. I mean, the second album kind of continues with the more, I don't know, what do you want to call it, hip-hop funky sensibility that the first one had.
And I was still really leaning really heavily on, you know, sequencing and stuff like that, which is something that's I find fun and easy to do most of the time. Yeah.
Okay. Let's tell you what. Let's give away some tickets to the show next Saturday night. MC 900 Foot Jesus performing live at the Lizard Lounge next Saturday out under the stars. You got to be at least 18. And if you want to go for free, we'll take the first five callers right now. It's 751-094.5. MC 900 Foot Jesus and the Killer Inside Me on KDGE, Edge Club 94. 94.5 KDGE The Edge. It's MC 900 Foot Jesus featuring DJ Zero and the Killer Inside Me from his second album, Welcome to My Dream. My name is Jeff K. Welcome to Edge Club 94. Joining me in the studios, Mr. Mark Griffin, otherwise known as MC 900 Foot Jesus. And Mark, man, we got to congratulate some folks here. Are you excited?
Absolutely, yeah.
Hey, Linda Trenton, Kid Ecstasy. That's his real name, by the way.
Yeah.
Rick Silvera, Jason as well. Jason's going to go. They're all going next Saturday night to see you out under the stars.
Cool.
At the Lizard Lounge. So let me ask you something. What do you think, since this is the mix show, and since you said you were going clubbing a lot late, what do you think of the current state of clubbing in Dallas?
Well, I mean...
I mean, because you're an old, you know, Stark product yourself.
Oh, geezer.
Stark product, not geezer. Yeah.
No, man, I mean, I still enjoy myself tremendously when I go out, you know? I mean, it's like, Deep Ellum is kind of like, kind of a riot, you know, on weekends. It's kind of a hassle sometimes, but, man, there's still good places for, you know, bands to play. Last night I went and saw Vibralux at Trees. It was like a hoot. You know, I really love them. And there's good dance DJs all over town too. I mean, yeah. You know,
when MC 900 Foot Jesus puts in a CD, what is he listening to these days?
I was listening to an On You Sound compilation yesterday.
Oh, you're kidding? Yeah. Like some old school Gary Clayton?
No, it's a newer one that I got it last night, and it was like a reggae archives, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it around yet before.
And is it featuring some Adrian Sherwood stuff? Or?
It's like Rico and all those, it's like horn players, a lot of instrumentals on it. Yeah, it's all real reggae stuff.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up by playing the new single, If I Only Had a Brain. Seems to me, just between you and me, because really, you know, nobody else is listening to this. It feels, you know, the album itself seems to be very, very distant from, like, any previous stuff you've done. Did the record label, or...
In some ways, but also...
You know my question, then. Yeah. You know what I'm going to ask you. It sounds like you had to put that song on the album or something.
No. Well, you know, they would love to have more stuff like that that's like three-minute pop songs or whatever, you know. But, no, I mean, everybody knew what I was planning on doing before I even got started on it. I mean, the first sessions that we had... were all the band sessions, you know, and then the next session that we did was like the session where Vernon Reed came in and played on that tune, you know.
Glad you brought that up. Yeah. Vernon Reed from Living Color played on the record. How'd you hook up with him?
The guy who signed me at the record label actually introduced me to him. He's been friends with him. He used to be a booking agent. He had helped set up the original Lollapalooza tour, mm-hmm. and knew him from back then. And so, yeah, that was his idea, as a matter of fact. And wow. So it's like then the last sessions that I did were where I laid down all the MIDI tracks, you know, with all the beatbox stuff and whatnot.
Okay.
So everybody had a good picture of what was going on, and they were into it, you know. I mean, it's like that's the cool thing about this particular record label is like, and not only did it take me forever to get this record done, but it's you know, stylistically, it's a pretty big stretch, you know, and they were... real supportive the whole way.
That's great. Was Vernon Reed an MC 900 Foot Jesus fan? Did he know of you?
I don't know if he's a fan, but he was familiar with my stuff. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That leads to my next question. Who is the weirdest person you remember? I guess maybe the most unusual person. How do I remember? Somebody who would normally be into this kind of sound come up to you and just go, "Man, I love your stuff."
I mean, as far as like somebody I've met at a show or something.
Yeah, like did Tony Bennett come up and say that to you when he was in town? I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Have you met, you know?
No, but
you know, Willie Nelson came
to
town or something.
I've had people that old tell me that they liked my music. You know? Yeah, that's probably it's very cool. It's probably one of the stranger things that you wouldn't expect, but it's really neat. I can't think of anybody who people would know off the top of my head that it surprised
me. Well, I know you're just schmoozing with everybody these days.
So. Oh, yeah, man. I am Mr. Showbiz. How do you think I got this far, baby?
I will never forget seeing you at the New Music Seminar 3 years ago when you were playing the show at the Ritz and you had the glasses on and you had straight jacket going and you had the money that you were throwing to the crowd. You were working it. You had the crowd going.
Don't remind me.
That was great. All right.
That was a good routine, though.
It was a very good routine. And then you gave it up and you got the whole band thing going now. All right, let's talk about the video first, and we'll get into the song, and we'll let you get back to your Saturday evening. Once again, we're talking with Mark Griffin, otherwise known as MC900 Foot Jesus, playing next Saturday night at the Lizard Lounge. The video, you're in a box through the whole thing.
Yeah, I was sore for 3 days.
Tell me about making, whose idea was that? Who directed it?
Well, this guy, Spike Jones, he's this young guy. He also directed that Beastie Boys Sabotage video.
Really?
Wow. And he came up with all the ideas himself. I mean, what we had three or four different directors submit one-page treatments for what they thought they would do with the song. And I really liked his, and I said, you know, you just do that, and I'll stay out of it. And so it's like I went out there, and we had like a two-day shoot, and he just told me what to do, and I did it.
It was a lot of fun, really.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, when you're kind of like in the disco, like at the disco ball, yeah. And you kind of get that thing. You got to check out the video. It's If I Only Had a Brain. From his new CD, One Step Ahead of the Spider. And boy, we could talk for like 30 minutes on that, but we're not gonna.
Yeah, that's
we're gonna leave that alone. Because
Shaggy
that,
Dog
you know,
song.
I was on the air here giving away like some other title for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But that's not the title. Anyway, go out and buy the CD if you haven't yet. It's on American Records. And if you've never caught MC900 Foot Jesus live, well, next Saturday night is your chance at the Lizard Lounge. And if you didn't win tickets tonight, well, by God, buy some.
They're cheap.
Yeah. You can't beat it. $5 or something. I don't know. Mark, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Very, very cool that I can turn on MTV and see your video. And then turn on MTV 2 hours later and see it again. It's for this song right here, If I Only Had a Brain. MC 900 Foot Jesus on Edge Club 94 on 94.5 The Edge.